So, welcome everybody. Welcome. And we always thank the Baruch Shalom that we have this Valdika, place to be for our shir. We don't take it for granted. So, shul, they have shiurim. So, why not? But if we're sitting here tonight, so we believe the Munei Shleima that this Baruch Hu has, provided us this place, this Mokhain, for our shir tonight. So thank you, Baruch Shalom. Hashkafas HaEmes demands that we believe that if we're sitting here tonight, it's nothing to do with the shul, nothing to do with anything, just HaKadosh Baruch Hu and us, Hashem is giving us this place this evening to sit and Hashem, in devoting ourselves to this, this Chabur, which is, I think, something very special in being mechazik ourselves in Avodas Hashem. And we have our Chavra, we thank Hashem that He puts into the minds of the Cheshek and the understanding of everybody that comes that they have a rutzen to be mishtatif tisha chabur. That's also about the state of Ishmael. We hope that we should be zaycher abaytai to use out our chabura that Hashem is giving us, that we should be able to grow and have an aliyah and be mekayim b'tzorni shel mokoyim b'tol simcha sachayim amitir. So, last week, Rabbi Sai, we really had something special, something very, very special. We call it in American English, we hit the jackpot. So, we used to have a few items that we can do to be mechazik our simcha, few items. Last year, we hit from the few items, four, five, we hit 12 last year, Rabbi Sai. Last week, we ran up to the cash register, rung up to the grand number of 20. Last week we had.
I only have 16.
Yeah.
my cash register wasn't working last week.
you were here last week?
Yeah.
Yeah, you were here last week. So, we can quickly go through that. Maybe I had to leave a little bit early or something, but.
One is remember that everything's under the reshus of Hashem, that Hashem takes care of all of us. Number two is singing and dancing. Number three is Torah is Mesam Pelev. Number three is Mechadej Chidushim. Four is counting blessings in general. Number five, doing stuff you enjoy. Number six, eating something you enjoy. Number seven, jokes. Number eight, solving Ein Simcha Ela Hataras HaSvekas. Number 9 is Psuke de Zimra. 10 is Chesed to other people. 11 is self-control, bring Simcha. 12, appreciation that you're alive, kind of a momentary idea. 13, having a Rebbe. 14, happy memories. 15, things that would make you, reminding us of things that would make us happy.
Things that success in life. Success in life that we look forward to doing that you'd be successful in picturing you doing it. Like, let's say you have a goal that you'd like to climb the Mount Everest, right? So picture it that you're climbing the Mount Everest and you got up to the top, right?
Okay. And this number 16 is Yisrei Lev Simcha. I don't remember what that referred to.
A person has a Yashtas Halev, so he has Simcha from that.
That's 16.
Right.
I'm waiting for the other four.
You can say doing chesed for other people?
Yes.
You did that. Okay. What about jokes?
Yes.
You said that?
Yes.
Yeah, he said it.
Yes. You
number
said
7.
It. Okay. Thing about the Nisim that the Bible does supply you for.
No, that we didn't do.
It's very, very important one, right? self-control.
That we got.
You did that. Okay. Having a Rebbe.
Got that.
You sure?
Yeah. That was number 13.
Yeah, okay.
I'm up to 19.
Where'd you go? What happened?
I don't know. I lost track when you were like...
Okay. Ein Simcha Ela B'Bosu
B'Yayin. Oh, we didn't do that one, no.
Right. It was besides eating things that you enjoy, but Chazal say that Bosa is like...
That's a separate one than eating?
Yeah, yeah. In other words, this is a special thing that Chazal say Ein Simcha, because you like cauliflower, broccoli,
It's generally under eating.
But here's a special item that, as I'll say, ain't simple to put them at the end. So let's say, Rabbi Tzai, that you have, you're all invited to a certain amount of classes, right, weddings. So you can't go to all of them, So who do you go? Do you think that's priority? People that you're closest with, right? Let's say you have... You have some people that are on the gray list, that you have a suffix. So during Adar we know that going to a simcha, you have simcha comes, right? Unless you have a wedding sometime during Adar, and it's one of these suffix things, the wedding, if it's somebody close, the body will go. And if you're not so close, you're not going to go. But it's one of these borderline cases. So going to a wedding is usually a very happy occasion, right? And you have a lot of simple problems. So because it's other, so go to the wedding. Not to say that the whole night, you can be vata on the second dessert, So you go there and, be mishamech there. So, right. What number do you have now?
19. I'm up to 20.
Okay.
I want to hear what Baruch's ones are. Uh-huh. I obviously missed.
Did you mention... Orzavur al Asadik uli Yisrael Leif Simcha.
That we did. That was number 16.
Right. Okay. And you mentioned also... Be cognizant of the things that Hashem gives you. You mentioned that.
There was two things. One was appreciating, one is appreciating that you're alive, and then there's a long term of counting the blessings of things that the Kodesh Baruch Hu has given you.
Right. Both, but appreciating your life is not an intellectual thing. It's that
just an emotional.
You tune in to the mere fact that you're alive and think about it. That's a list. You make a list of all the good things that this is. Like you take a deep breath and you enjoy the breath, or you enjoy the fact of your life. Okay, so you say you have 19.
Huh?
Okay, good. Everybody say.
I'm at 21.
read yours.
If you can take time.
Fine.
Maybe okay. Do it privately. It'd be interesting to know.
Fine.
Which one? Okay, good, Rabbi Zayt. Baruch Hashem. The main thing is that it shouldn't be just a list, right? It should be, we should do it, huh? We should do it, Rabbi Zayt. Okay, so first of all, Baruch, Baruch HaMaboyim, Baruch, you were here.
I had my list.
Yeah, okay, wonderful. You were here with the telephone, you're here.
I'm actually here in person.
Yeah, right. I don't know why, it just seems very long ago.
That was 2 weeks ago.
Yeah. What?
2 weeks ago, I was here.
Rabbi Yaakov, you weren't here. But what's the first name again?
Eliyahu Wexler.
Eliyahu, you had something you want to say about last week?
Ein Simcha Ela Kateres HaSpeikus, that's what I related most to. The problem is that most decisions in life have no absolute answers. So my issue was just making a decision and not second guessing myself, yeah. And at least assuming I have an answer and just keeping with it. That was my.
I mean, the actually wasn't so much making the decision yourself, if you could, or making a staff list, or making an effort to try to get towards the decision, like speaking it over either with a Rebbe or a good friend or a Yayas, you know. It was to make an effort in the direction of trying to, you know, if you can do it yourself, so that's wonderful, but most of us, you know, if we're running around with it, so it's not so accessible, but to be miyayet with somebody is, so that was the direction of getting, you know, outside.
So I like a lot of these things. Just realizing that what I was doing was part of the list and that we were doing it in order to be Misamach and Adar was already a big, a lot of these things you do, but you don't really think about it. Here, by thinking about it and saying, oh, I'm doing a Dafka for Misamach and Adar, it's already very good.
Somebody mentioned that to me today as a new item on the list. Just the fact that you're Isaac on the list itself is. Many of these things, items have some, you know, as we say, to do a chesed to somebody, right? So the chesed, that's a the trunk of a tree that has limitless branches. You know, what does that mean? Do a chesed to be mesameh somebody, go to a downtrodden person and build up their confidence. You know, say something nice to somebody that is a little down. Find a shidduch for somebody. The world of chesed is like limitless. Believe me. Okay, good. Rabbi said. Rabbi Shea, you weren't here last week. You find it difficult relating with the telephone? Huh?
I didn't know. Well, I was just ill. I was just sick.
No, I know that. I meant that.
But that's true. I don't hear the phone.
Sometimes it's good, you know, to hear anyway as much as you can get. You can get. You know. Okay, good, Rabbi Yisrael. Baruch Hashem. So what about tonight? Tonight, Rabbi Yisrael. So, of course, if you want to go on. So, the main theme that we want to speak about tonight, Rabbi Yisrael, is the holy holiday of Purim, Abu Aleinu the Tevah. Purim, the perspective that we should have, what is Purim? The perspective that we should have of Purim is that it's an awesome gift that Hashem gave us, that Purim is a day that a person can have a tremendous aliyah in Ruchnius, that it's loaded every minute, every hour, every minute, every second of it, that a person can have a gevaltig aliyah in Ruchnius. It's like somebody gives you $100,000, says, here's $100,000, and I'm giving it to you to invest. You know, invest in it. Use this money to invest whatever you feel is the best investment. Let it be in bonds, in stocks, you know, in shares, and you know, in the stock. Open up a business, you know. Use it wherever you think that you can get the greatest dividends. I'm giving you $100,000. The best, buy real estate. You know, open up a little company. Buy materials to open up a little factory. But use it. Use this $100,000. You know. So Purim is a tremendous matana that they give in a Shemayim. It's material. It's chomer. It's good. And you can use it. You can use it. You know. You can use it for you can be mashkia. Use it to invest. As an investment for Ruchnius, the base, and make use of the Purim as an investment. How do we make use of it? By using it in the best possible way. But first of all, that's the perspective that we should have for Purim. I imagine for all of us here, that definition of Purim is a little bit of a kiddush. I think that the conventional way of looking for Purim is like a holiday, a happy holiday, you know, a joyous holiday, which it is. But it's much, 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 much more than that. You know, light years higher than that. It's a time of Hashpoas ben Hashemayim that we can have an awesome aliyah, you know, put us in orbit, in Ruchnias, that can change our whole direction. I don't mean that tomorrow we should be walking around with Strimlap or something. You know, I just meant that the whole Shivun of Ruchni is to be in a higher, much higher, higher in a higher aspirations. I've seen throughout the years so many people in all stages of life going through good Gishmak HaPurim and coming out, you know, different person as far as his ideas of life is concerned, as far as his hopes of Ruchni is concerned, his direction of Ruchni. And it all came from a good Purim, from a good Gishmaka, you know, meaningful Purim. So that's the first thing I think of my side. I think it would be very helpful for us just to have the definition clear, defined of how do we define Purim. And then, of course, to go about it, to do this the mice, it takes $100,000 and invest it. So now you have to know how you're going to do it. So the first thing is to plan the Purim with this in mind, like how I'm going to get the most out of my Purim. Now, all of us here have a different framework, you know, according to your family, you know, needs, the relationships that you have. So each one has to go about putting this amaisa, manifesting it in the amaisa. Each one of us has to do it in a different kind of a way, according to our own, again, background, our own family, own needs, the family's needs and relationships and what they expected of you also. But just keeping in mind that this is the goal, this is your goal, Rabbi Sai. So now you have to sit down and plan, how can I get the most out of my Purim based on the expectancies of, I say again, what the family expects of me, how much time they have for myself, and how am I going to do this, right? So besides, before we go into this, Rabbi Sai, two things before we get into this was that these days that we have here now, so we suggested it last week, I'll suggest it again, we should make a Seder every day, learning the halachas of Purim. When I say learning halachas, I mean all the halachas, that's a different thing. Whatever you want to learn, to be familiar with the dinim, that's one thing. What I'm suggesting here is that we know a secret. We know a secret that in order to get into the ruchnias of the yontif, that's the guy to connect yourself with the halachas of the yontif. In other words, you might think that the halachas have nothing to do with the ruchnias. You know, the halachas is dry, clear, you know. Halachas, you know, after this, after that, the Ruchnias is the Kirbas Hashem, the spirit. But surprisingly enough, one of the keys to get into the spirit is being familiar with the halachas. So at least pick one or two, simanim in the Shulchan Aruch, some aspect, and try to, you know, go into that a little bit, you know, more in depth. Something in the Kitzel Shulchan Aruch, the Guru, whatever, you know, we'll try to go into Halacha Shabbat. That's number one. Number two, start preparing for Purim itself, especially with the Megillah. Start learning the Megillah yourselves, right? And the Olam here, our veterans, are familiar with what I suggest, that I suggest that as a priority, instead of looking at the portion, I call it panicking for the portion. Clearing it up yourself, you know, trying to get, you know, go through the words, and try to get, geschmack, an enjoyment, and a sefer, and just learning the simplicity of it, you know, in the beginning. And of course, you can do Mefarshim also if you want. But first, just go to the Megillah, get the simple shot clear. It could be with Rashi, maybe. But keep it like simple. The simplicity of Purim, you know. The simplicity of the Megillah. Like, try to think of reasons why Mordechai didn't bow down to Haman. Like, why didn't bow down? So, and I'll say that he had a thing hanging on him, Getchkin. But in the Mikra, Pesach Shem Mikra, we don't know about that. So I think of a logical reason why he didn't bow down. Like, one suggestion, just an idea, what I mean, like, I personally think, the way I understand it is that, because he it was his idea to, you know, to get rid of Vashti and then to get a new Malka, you know, because of this, Esther came about, right? And the king was so thrilled about the whole thing what happened, getting rid of Vashti, and so he attributed probably to Haman supernatural, you know, powers. So he said right after that, that's when he elevated him. And he said everybody should bow down to him. So, to me, it makes a lot of sense that he attributes to him supernatural power. So, you don't have to say that he had a Getchka hanging on him. You just say that bowing, you know, bowing down to him, it wasn't like, you know, like, you have a minhag that lawyers, everybody has to bow down to a judge. Did you ever see it? The way they bow down to a judge? That's the way it's done. All over. It could be all over the world. I saw it. The first time I saw it here in this country, I couldn't believe it. You know, I was in Yerushalayim, in the Beit Sholom, whatever it was, you know, where they have so I had to speak to a lawyer about something. I talked to a lawyer in that building, and the judge happened to just walk by in the corridor. I couldn't see my eyes. Like, he mamish bowed down to him. Like, he didn't get on his knees, but mamish he bowed down all the way, you know. Like, a serious, you know, lawyer, a mature man, and somebody walked by, so his mamish bowed down to him. And then later, another judge walked by, or he's coming back the corridor. Again, he mamish bowed down to him. That's the way the noyah, you know, that they bow down to a judge. Did you ever hear that? Anyway, I'm just saying that if it would have been just to bow down to Haman, it would have been, you know, just as a gesture of respect. Could be would have done it, but here it wasn't just a gesture of respect. It was because, you know, because of his credentials was that he had supernatural. He was like some divinity, right? So it could be that's why he wanted to bow down because of that. It's an idea. So I'm just saying that, like, you think about your own ideas of things. And, okay, I would say. So that's before Purim, you know. Try to learn up the Megillah and try to, you know, think about things. And also, everybody say, we want to have to do mitzvahs, putting on your tefillin or tzitzis. So you try to think that you're doing it the Shem Shemayim. Mitzvahs, thinking I'm doing the Shem Shemayim. So the next couple of days, pick three mitzvahs that you do and think specifically I'm doing the Shem Shemayim, because on Purim we have all these mitzvahs that we're doing, you know, the drinking and the eating and the shakmanis. So it's important to do it the Shem Shemayim. So we should get into the swing of doing our mitzvahs the Shem Shemayim. Right?
Depending when you're drinking, what does that mean, the Shem Shemayim? What should you think?
It's a mitzvah.
It's a simple thought.
Right.
three mitzvahs of per mitzvahs, any mitzvahs.
What?
Three mitzvahs of any mitzvahs or per mitzvahs? Three any mitzvahs?
Right.
Okay, the daytime, today, tomorrow, a few mitzvahs.
Yeah.
Right. Just to get the spirit of taking the mitzvahs.
Yeah.
Right. Purim, take the mitzvahs with Purim?
Right. No. Purim, I'm sure you'll do it with the mitzvahs of Purim. But just to get into the idea of doing mitzvahs with Shem Shemayim.
Right.
Right. So this is the thing, right? So just think, I'm doing a mitzvah of I mean the kind of mitzvah of the Chazal. It's having me to drink. So basically not Purim. So we want to get back to Purim. We have to get more control over the time. Basically. So first of all, you know, it should be. Plan again where you're going to be spending the time, how you're going to be spending it, so they say, right? And then, of course, you know, the suitors, how much control you have, where you're going to be for the suitors, you know. Sometimes you go to certain suitors that people have, so, you know, the people, you know, very lighthearted, the sun is big, and, you know. You should try to have your suda together with people that you know, of course it'll be levitic and sympathetic, but, you know, there's some seriousness, like, that's the theme of, the Purim is that it has to be sympathetic and levitic, but at the same time, very, very serious, you know, with serious, I don't mean, you know, warm-nosed, but it's a very serious day that we try to connect with Hashem and be makir HaKadosh Baruch Hu, you know, but in a sympathetic kind of way. It's not like levity. You know, in many circles of people that are unaware of this. So it's just a day of levity, of making silly tzunnis and silly jokes, drinking, and, you know, without any serious. The point I'm say is that the symptom of Purim has to be, you know, within the framework of. Of coming close to Hashem, having the leader. One of the most important things that we say that you have to be careful of, yourself, I don't have to worry about this so much, but younger people have to be concerned about that they mix drinks, and that's a catastrophe, right? Mix drinks, because you lose all the imagine. You know, people like ourselves, you know, older, you know, it's not so much in there. But it's a good voice to keep it in mind, if we say. An Eitz HaTov is that you drink, dry wine. Some white dry wine. And just keep the, you know, wherever you go, whatever you do, keep a few bottles with you, whatever you want. And you go into somebody's house, they say, oh, it's not, we have Shmerel here, say the chayim, who pours you a glass of vodka, you know. And then you go to the next house, then he pours you a glass of old brandy, you know. And this house, this. And that's the worst thing that we say, you know, because when you mix drinks, then you lose control. So one of the best agents is that you have with you your dry wine. So he wants to say l'chaim, takes out his book, he say, do me a favor, I'll supply my own. You can offer him some dry wine for yourself, but you have it with you all the time. This is what I drink. You pick up one drink that you're going to drink. I suggest it to be white dry wine, but it could be anything. Whatever it is, keep it with you and keep to it. Let's say again, everybody said, try to spend some time, serious time with the suitors, you know, like, try to make the suitors a mukum of real Kirbus Hashem, to talk about the Nisim, talk about the Megillah, talk about the Kirbus Hashem, talk about the Ava that Kirbus has for us. That should always be the theme, don't allow, the levity of just not empty tzunnis, to take over. That's very, very important. of course, in order to do that, you have to plan. Everybody said, you know, who are you going to spend the Purim with? You know, very often, you know, the families get together, and you don't have such a control over it. There's a lot of levity, and of course, sneers. A lot of times, people, you know, they break the I don't know, again, how much control you have, you know, in your particular circles, but a Purim Seudah, really, the men, and if you can control it, men and women shouldn't really sit at the same table. It should be two different tables, because, you know, people drink, and there's levity, and it's not small, it's near, you know, for people that are drinking a lot, the ladies and men should be sitting at the same table. Try your best to have it. Okay, but you have a wonderful, wonderful Purim, but you should be a Gavaltic Aliyah, right? We should gain, grow, get into orbit, fly up, everybody saying, to orbit. And of course, these days before, you know, get into the, you know, all 28.